We're going to be looking at God's antidote to damaged emotions. The Bible says in Psalm 23, verse 3, He restores my soul. That's good news. We all need to have our souls restored periodically because we get hurt. Life is tough. Would you agree with that? We get beat up by discouragements, by depression, by despair. In your notes, we have damaged emotions. We have fatigue. We have failures. We have frustrations. And in your notes, we have fears. We all have these hidden hurts from our past. We carry wounds. We carry battle scars. We carry emotional garbage. And the good news is that God wants to take away your emotional garbage. God wants to restore your soul. How does God do that? Well, God restores your soul when you allow God to make three changes in your life. In your notes, number one, the first change for God to restore my soul is to let God remove my guilt. See, I must let God remove my guilt. And nothing destroys a soul faster than guilt. Look at Psalm 38. Please read those verses with me together out loud. My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. I am bowed down and brought low. All day long, I go about mourning. So there are two problems with our guilt. First of all, number one, you know, we all have reason to feel guilty because we're all imperfect. We all make mistakes. By nature, we daily carry guilt in our lives. But secondly, number two in your notes, the guilty conscience is located in our minds. So we cannot get away from our guilt because we carry guilt in our minds. And even if we move to another place, we carry a guilty conscience with us. Look at what the Bible says. Look at Proverbs 20, verse 27, where Solomon writes, "The Lord gave us a mind and a conscience. We cannot hide from ourselves." So how do we get rid of guilt? Really, how do we get rid of the guilt in your life? How do you learn to cope? Well, there's some options. I've noted seven ways people have coped with their guilt. Number one, you can, in your notes, you can deny it. Yeah, you can deny it. You can pretend that it does not exist. Oh, I'm not guilty. Who, me? Some people say we need to bury the past. The problem with that is it just does not work. If it's still alive, it does not work for you to try to bury it. The problem with guilt is about the time that you think you have it buried, that feeling comes back usually at the most inappropriate times. So denying guilt does not really relieve guilt. Number two in your notes, you can minimize it. You can minimize your guilt. You can say, oh, that's no big deal. It's not that big of a sin. So what? Then why do we still remember it if it's no big deal? See, minimizing your guilt doesn't work either. Number three in your notes, you can compromise. You can compromise your guilt by just lowering your standards. Well, if I feel guilty about something, I'll just say, I don't believe that it's wrong anymore. I was once found a great source of theological truth in a fortune cookie. It said this, commit a sin twice and it won't seem so bad of a sin anymore. That's really brilliant. The 10th murder is not nearly as bad as the first one. If that's true, if you keep doing something over and over, your conscience will become seared to it. But that does not relieve your guilt. So you can deny it, you can minimize it, you can compromise it. Number four in your notes, you can rationalize it. You can rationalize your guilt and say, well, everybody is doing it. Well, first of all, everybody doesn't do it. But you don't justify your wrong by someone else's behavior. You can always find somebody who is worse than you are. In fact, rationalize means literally the rational and lies. Whenever I rationalize my guilt, I'm trying to convince my heart about what I know is wrong in my head. Now, another way we deal with our guilt, number five in your notes, you can blame others. You can blame other people. In other words, in our mind, we have the scale of what I do wrong and also what you do wrong to me. I happen to feel bad about this, so I wanted to do a blaming you for something else. I did this, but you did that. But blaming doesn't work either. When you're blaming other people, it does not make it any easier on you. Number six, most of us do, in your notes, we beat ourselves up. Yeah, we beat ourselves up. We self-administer punishment. You see, inside, we know that somebody has to pay for our sins. Can guilt make you sick? Sure it does. Can guilt make you and give you depression? Absolutely. Can guilt cause you to set yourself up even for failures? Without doubt. And none of these first six ways of dealing with guilt work at all. There's only one way, one solution to your guilt. Number seven, in your notes, you must give your guilt to God. You must give it to God. God is the only one who can remove your guilt. Well, just look at Romans 3, 23 and 24. Please read those verses with me together out loud. All have sinned, yet now God declares us not guilty of offending him if we trust in Jesus Christ, who in his kindness freely takes away our sins. The most basic truth of Christianity is this. Jesus Christ has already paid in full all your sins. Everything that you have ever done wrong has already been paid for. Everything that you will do wrong in the future has been paid for. You confess your sin and you trust in Jesus, who freely takes away our sins. There's no other way. No psychologist can remove your guilt. They do not have the power to forgive. You didn't hurt them. But the Creator of the world does have power to forgive you. But you say, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. And you're right, but it doesn't really matter. Forgiveness from God is not based upon how bad or good you've been. It's based on how good God is. What matters is what Jesus Christ has already done for you on the cross. And what do? It says if we trust in Jesus. So we must trust in Jesus, and in your notes, that means we don't have to beg, number one. You don't beg God and say, please, pretty please, God, please, please, I'm really begging you, down on my knees. No, you don't have to beg for forgiveness. Number two, in your notes, you don't bribe. You do not bribe God by saying, if you forgive me, then I promise to read my Bible more, or I promise to go to church every week. I promise to give 20%. No, you don't try to bribe God. And number three, we don't bargain. You do not bargain with God to get his forgiveness for you. You do not say, God, if you forgive me, then I'll never do that again. Because if that's really a weakness in your life, you'll probably do it anyway. So don't beg, don't bribe, don't bargain. But number four, on the back of your notes, we simply do believe. Yeah, you must believe. You trust in Jesus. And it's such good news because God's forgiveness is a totally free gift. I start over fresh. My slate is perfectly wiped clean. My conscience is clear. You believe in Jesus. Now, some of you are saying, I've done that, but I believe in Jesus, but I still feel guilty. No matter how much I ask God, I still feel guilty. That simply means that you don't understand. You do not understand how unconditional God's forgiveness is. That is how free it absolutely is, how complete it is. You never have to ask God to forgive you a second time. In fact, if you feel guilty after you have confessed your sin and you believe in Jesus, you still feel guilty, that guilt is not from God. That feeling of guilt is from the devil. See, the devil wants you to feel bad. In fact, before you commit a sin, the devil, Satan, minimizes your sin. It's no big deal. No big deal. But then after you sin, then the devil, Satan, says, good night. That sin is so big. God can never use you because of that sin. Your God will never forgive. Forget it. You're dead. Before you sin, the devil minimizes it. After you sin, the devil exaggerates your sin. Just the opposite. So the Bible says God declares us not guilty. Just believe. First, I must let God remove my guilt. But number two, the second change for God to restore my soul is in your notes, let God relieve my grief. Number one, let God remove my guilt. Number two, let God relieve my grief. You have grief over being hurt by other people. You have grief in seeing other people getting hurt. The fact is, you will be hurt in life. You will experience loneliness. You will experience a broken heart. You will experience despair and loss and grief. And if you have grief today, I want you to know that God knows what you are going through. And God hurts with you. And God cares about your hurts. The members of your church also want to be there for you in this crisis. But only Jesus Christ can fill the emptiness in your heart. So what do you do when your heart is breaking? What do you do when grief overwhelms you? Do you play the if only game? If only that was different? If only this or if only that? Or do you draw yourself into a shell? Or is there a different option? Yes, there is. You can let Jesus, your good shepherd, restore your soul. And David in the Bible was very acquainted with grief. David understood how much it damages your soul when you hurt. Look at Psalm 31, where David says, O Lord, have mercy on me in my anguish. My eyes are red with weeping. My heart, my health is broken with sorrow. See, David is saying, I know how it damages the soul. Sometimes we grieve because of our own stupid actions. We make serious mistakes, get ourselves into all kinds of trouble. We grieve over that. And sometimes we grieve because we see people we love who are hurting. Sometimes we grieve because of their loss. David in 2 Samuel gives us three things that we should do to handle our grief. Of course, you remember the story of David. David committing adultery with Bathsheba. He even had her husband murdered. He carried that guilt. He wrote Psalm 51, and he confessed that guilt to God. Then David felt grief also because the child that Bathsheba had was very sick, and he died. David got on his knees. He begged God for the life of that child. What did David do with his grief? We're going to look at three things in your notes that David did. Number one, David accepted what he cannot change. David accepted what cannot be changed. David asked himself, can I bring back this life, child to life? The answer, of course, was no. Then David continued on. You have been hurt yourself by your parents or by your partner or by your peers. And all the grieving in the world is not going to change that past. So the first step to emotional health, to your healing, to restoring your soul, the first step is to accept what cannot be changed. But there is more. Number two in your notes, you play it down, you pray it up. Let me repeat that. You play it down and pray it up. What I'm saying is that you don't exaggerate it, you don't rehearse it and rehearse it. Rather, you simply dedicate it. You dedicate it to God in prayer. So you play it down, you pray it up. You're going to be hurt in life. Pain is inevitable. But really, misery is always optional. We turn too often our mourning, our weeping, into moaning. Rather, we should give it to God. You know what David did with his grief. David says that David worshiped. Yeah, he went to church. He dedicated it to God. So number one, accept what cannot be changed. Number two, play it down and pray it up. And number three, David said, in your notes, focus on what is left, not on what is lost. You focus on what is left and not on what is lost. David and Bathsheba had another son. They named him Solomon. He would be king of Israel, the wisest man who ever lived. Focus on what is left, not on what is lost. Some of you are going through grief now. It hurts. It does not have to devastate you. Because Jesus, your good shepherd, wants to heal your emotions. Jesus wants to restore your soul. However, you do have a choice. In your notes, don't choose. Don't choose to remain in the prison of your pain. Number one, I must let God remove my guilt. Number two, I must let God relieve my grief. Number three, the third change for God to restore my soul. In your notes is let God replace my grudges. I must let God replace my grudges. Look at what Job says in Job 5, verse 2. To worry yourself to death with resentment would be a foolish, senseless thing to do. Grudges and resentments come from what other people do to you. I feel guilty when I do things to other people, but I have grudges when other people do something wrong to me. You are going to be hurt in life, though. Sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally. Either way, it hurts. How do you handle the resentments of your life? The resentment of life in your notes will either make you bitter or it will make you better. How I handle resentments determine whether you are a bitter person or if you're a better person. The difference between bitter and better is simply the letter I, because I make the choice. I choose whether the circumstances will devastate me or if it will make me better, will direct me to another path. See, resentment never hurts the other person, never. It only hurts me. And when you feel resentful, it hurts you. Some of you will actually permit. You will permit people of your past, even 10 years ago, to be hurting you today. That is senseless. See, in your notes, resentment hurts you only when you choose to rehearse it. It hurts when you choose to rehearse it in your mind over and over. That's foolish, Job says. That's senseless. Look at Ephesians 4. Get rid of all bitterness, Paul says. Instead, be kind, tenderhearted to one another. Forgive one another, how we ask? As God has forgiven you through Christ. See, life is unfair. Innocent people do suffer. Evil people prosper. Don't be surprised about that. Don't be bitter. How do we deal with our grudges? Know that God Himself is going to settle the score one day. There's a real heaven and there's a real hell. So meanwhile, get rid of all your bitterness by forgiving each other, as Christ, in Christ, God forgave you. See, if you've been forgiven by God, then God empowers you, and God expects you to be forgiving to others. And you will never have to forgive another person more than God has already forgiven you. See, and you know, as Martin Luther King Jr. said, bitterness is blindness. Bitterness is blindness. If I allow you and you're hurting me to make me bitter, it blinds me to the good, to what God wants me to be doing with my life, how God wants to take the negative, those harmful things, and use it for your good. See, I cannot see the good if I'm filled with bitterness. You can heal your damaged emotions. You can heal your hurts and your pain when you receive God's forgiveness in Christ Jesus. And when you then offer that forgiveness to other people. Jesus, our Good Shepherd, in your notes, our Good Shepherd specializes in new beginnings. Jesus can wipe the slate clean for you and me, give you a new beginning. There's no reason in the world today to leave church with a guilty conscience, or with unrelieved grief, or with carrying a grudge. See, in your notes, Jesus, your Good Shepherd alone. Number one, removes my guilt. Number two, He relieves my grief. And number three, replaces my grudges. Amen.